Inspiring stories to ignite the next generation.
From the Perse School, Cambridge.
Welcome to another enlightening Diary of a Future CEO, where today we explore the artistry and brilliance in the world of lighting design and entertainment. George, welcome.
Thank you very much.
George, you literally light up the room with your personality and presence, a true luminary in the world of illumination. But I'm really interested in finding out how you got into this particular career. Was it a childhood dream or something that developed later?
It was from as early as I can remember, really, which is quite bizarre. I mean, I've got memories at school of people having really not much clue what they wanted to go on to do at uni, but I always had this real passion of lighting, which is an odd fascination, but it was always there. I mean, even as early on as, I mean, I'm not sure how relevant this is, but my first word as a baby was moon. So, I mean, even back to those days, I was looking at the lights. But it really all started, as with all good stories, in a restaurant in La Manga in Spain, where there was a children's entertainer. I think I was about 7 years old at the time. He was called Jolly Jacko. He was a northern fella from the UK. He was dressed up as a clown, which is a little odd, but I was a little bit intrigued by him, mainly because of the lights that he'd got as part of his sort of disco and children's entertainment setup. And I was like intrigued, and I wanted to do what he did. And I remember coming back next year, and he let me be part of his show. So I kind of, I think, got a bit of an insight into not only the tech side of things and how his sound system worked, how his lights worked, but also the entertainment side of things and like bringing people together, which is also what fascinates me a lot about lights. So off the back of that, I went on to start my own sort of disco company in Cambridge about the age of eight. And I was doing parties for my sister's friends, charging £20 with my karaoke machine and lights, and going around various village halls in Cambridgeshire, and basically using that as a vessel to make money to buy more lights, really, because that was what interested me the most. And I then sort of started a small events company in Cambridge throughout school, continued to nurture that, and then the next logical step off the back of school was going on and doing a degree in lighting design and sort of more closely focused around theatre, which was also something that I was heavily involved in at school.
We'll talk a little bit more about your degree in a minute. I want to ask you a little bit about the Perse School and how maybe being involved in things like the theatre gave you some foundations or helped to build your interest in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember joining in year seven and really being sort of a little bit out of my depth in terms of a lot of things. But there was one person that I remember vividly who was another student. He was part of the drama department, and he took on all of the lighting and all of the sound for all of the in-house shows, which were at that time in the lecture theatre. And he was so kind to me, and he didn't really need to be because he was a lot older than I was, and he could have just thought that I was a bit annoying. But he was so kind in showing me how things worked and giving me an insight into that world of things. So I've got him to thank a lot, but also the drama department there at the time, Mr. Piercy, Mr. Green, some really incredible teachers that allowed me to really have a pretty open rein when it came to the tech side of things for shows. But I was also involved in the drama side, doing the acting myself as well, because that's what I was interested in. So I sort of immersed myself within all facets of the Perse drama world, really.
I think it's lovely that you were really interested in lighting from the age of eight. I mean, lots of children at eight have dreams of being different things when they grow up. But for you, you actually saw it through and it became your career. So when you left the Perse, you went on to Rose Bruford College, which is one of the industry leading colleges for performance and technical production. Tell me a bit about that course and how it grounded you with the skills to then progress into your career.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a no-brainer going there, really, because there's a few drama schools around, but none of them offered specific degrees in lighting design. And, you know, you could go and do a degree in technical theatre, but I was so focused on, I don't need any of the rest of it. I just want to do lighting. It's almost like my life had been leading up for quite some time into just wanting to do lighting all the time. So it was that one that made sense for me. It's a drama school, so I was mainly lighting for theatre and for performance. But it was so brilliant to suddenly be working alongside actors, sound designers, scenic designers on, you know, medium, large-scale productions in such a sort of prestigious facility. It really set me up for where I am now, really, both giving me those hard skills of actually how to light a show and light a performance, but also those soft skills that are so important, if not more important, of collaboration between all the disciplines involved in making a show.
I know you're very interested in the world of immersive experience and how you use light to evoke emotion and response from your audiences.
I was really lucky after uni. I got a job with a global brand experience agency called Imagination. It was part of a university like careers event in third year, and I met who later came on to be my boss at Imagination there, and he pretty much offered me a job on the spot. So I went from lighting, you know, fairly low budget theatre shows to being in this world of lighting large scale, immersive, experiential shows for big corporate clients, and having, you know, the budgets to match, really. So I sort of saw the world of high end immersive production through them. And then unfortunately was let go from there due to COVID, but decided that that was the route that I wanted to follow. I was really interested in lighting things for a full environment and not just sort of like a window into an environment like with film and theatre. I wanted it to sort of really immerse the guests that step foot into them. And I was also really helped along the way by the Themed Entertainment Association, who's an industry body that I became a member of during university, and as of this year became a board member as well, to sort of start to pay it back and pay back what I've learnt from them.
When you're given a brief, how do you turn like a creative vision into reality? What kind of process do you go through?
It really varies from project to project. A lot of the time we'll have very little time. So it's kind of a rushed process of doing what you can with the space and all of the constraints around you. But occasionally we do have the luxury of time, and that process will look like a lot of highly collaborative, creative meetings with all of the different disciplines. Because a lot of the time, ideas can come from anyone in the room. So I think back to a show that I did in Saudi Arabia in my first year when I was at Imagination. And we were really struggling to light this one particular position. And I remember one of the princes who was on site turned around to me and he said, "Well, why don't you use those lights up there, but just shine them through the glass into this space?" I was like, "That's a brilliant idea. That's a really good idea." And it just sort of goes to show that everybody has got a valid opinion with things like this.
And all credit to you for actually listening.
Yes.
You know, being that sort of person that's willing to listen to different ideas and pull different people on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's got to be done. I mean, without that, there's going to be no show. You need to listen and collaborate within these environments, because they are often so hectic and so fast-paced, you do really need to sometimes take that step back.
You mentioned collaboration there. I imagine that's really key, as you've kind of insinuated, really, that if you can't collaborate, you can't work with all these different people, you're not going to achieve what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's totally that. And I think, you know, school sets you up in good stead to understand that. But I think specifically through university and being in that drama school where you've got all of those disciplines around you, you learn very quickly that collaboration's the way to survive, really.
You mentioned travelling and working out in Saudi Arabia. Tell me about some of the other projects that you've been involved in.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I love the most about the work that I do is the travel and the seeing different cultures and different spaces. So, travelling as far as Saudi Arabia. The first project that I did was out in Germany, building this experience for Ford, the car manufacturer. And they wanted to produce a experience whereby you could experience the speed of their new electric car instead of this thing that would travel around from city to city. So we built these shipping containers for end on end, and there was basically a sort of roller coaster track inside it, which shot down these shipping containers at the speed of this car. And that was my first project in a foreign country. And I just remember doing that, and it was so exciting to me, because not only was the project really exciting, but you were working with people that you've never worked with before in a totally different place. And I was like, this is why I do what I do.
I always feel like with lighting can really affect how you respond to a particular place or situation. I know that even I can walk into a shop with bad lighting and it kind of creates like a stress response.
Yeah.
So imagine like there's places where, you know, that lighting is going to create a certain response. So you must be very emotionally intelligent because you're trying to feel how your audience will feel in that particular circumstance.
I mean, for sure. I don't think many people notice good lighting, but you definitely notice how it feels, and you will certainly notice bad lighting, even if you're not sure that it's exactly the light that's doing the talking in those situations. I think it can have such a profound impact on emotional response. I mean, you know, everything from learning colour theory at university and how different colours can have different emotional impacts through to working within immersive environments and putting something totally hidden away and having this sort of moment of wonder just by creating an effect that was totally unknown when someone first walked into the room. I think there's so much scope for creating that emotional response with lighting.
What have you produced that you're most proud of?
It would be that first job that I did at Imagination, that Ford job, because I was still so young and naive at that point. I didn't really know what I was doing, but it was kind of like the perfect first project for me. And I just went into it with a sort of hunger to learn. And I was really proud of what we built, especially considering, you know, I didn't really have the skills at the time, like in terms of 3D design that was needed to make that project happen. I'd sort of done a bit of it during university, but not that much. But suddenly I was in this space where I had to learn really quickly all of these different disciplines. And, you know, you make it work, I suppose. And I did make it work. And I was really proud with the outcome.
Sounds like skills like resilience, you know, all those skills that are not just the academic ones that you learn in school and college, but those other skills like resilience and just being able to, I guess, find a solution to a problem are really useful in your career now.
As you've said, a lot of it comes down to those skills of searching for solutions and those communication skills and all of those soft skills that come along with it. Those are the most important ones. What you actually design and what happens with light is such a small part of the job, really.
You were mentioning that you've set up your own company. Tell me a bit about that.
I actually now work alongside my old boss from Imagination. So he set up a company called Drawn to the Light, and I've now come on board with that company as a partner. So we work together on a whole host of projects. We still do a lot of events-based projects, similar to what we did when we worked for Imagination. But we also do a lot of themed entertainment, experiential, permanent installation projects as well. So, yeah, working on some really fun stuff at the moment. I'm actually off to Cadbury World next week to finish off the installation of the lighting for a new ride there, which is like a dream come true for me. I mean, I used to go to Cadbury World a few times during my childhood, and it was just like the most amazing place, not only from, you know, a seeing chocolate being made perspective, but also as like this visitor attraction and this really cool experience. So to have a part to play within that is really exciting for me, and being able to design a lighting scheme that's going to be seen, you know, over the next 10-20 years by potentially millions of people is really exciting.
So you have to think of a lighting design that will encourage people to buy chocolate on their way out.
Easily done. Yeah, lots of purple in this one.
Well, it's the school colours as well.
There you go. Perfect. I think school trip's in order.
Absolutely. I'll have to mention that. What would you say to other young people that might be thinking about a career in this industry, maybe in lighting design or maybe more in technical theatre and production?
It's great. And if that passion does exist, then it is really rewarding. But I don't think you can underestimate how hard work it can be. I mean, it's long hours. It's also often periods of very little work followed by an awful lot of stuff coming along at once, because ultimately it is somewhat of a freelance industry. Even if you're working for a company, you don't really know when that work's going to come in. So it can be tricky from that perspective, but it's so rewarding to see the opening night of a production or to see the first time that ride goes around a track with visitors on it, and to see that emotional response from people. I mean, that's the reason that I do it, really. It's almost like the light is a way to get to that emotional response from guests and visitors. And, you know, the way that I do that is through light.
What's one thing about lighting design that you wish more people would understand?
A lot of people potentially don't realise the amount of pre-production that goes into a project. So the amount of creative mood boarding, storyboarding, cue lists, paperwork that go into these projects. It's not just turning up on site with a few lights and sticking them on in various colours. There's an awful lot of planning that go into these projects. So we will draft everything out in 3D to begin with. We'll often then bring that into some visualization software and see what it looks like ahead of going on site. And then essentially when you get on site, if you've done all of that work right, it's just that tweaking that happens then. So a lot of the hard work is actually done beforehand.
It's interesting that you mentioned the computer there and what you're designing out in advance. So having skills, actually being able to be very computer literate and design and things on the computer must be really helpful, as well as the practical side of it.
Absolutely. I mean, the computer is just a tool, and essentially you could do any part of lighting design without a computer, really, but it is there to help the process, speed up the process, and give you a more precise end result, essentially. So a lot of what I do is computer-based now, whereas at uni in first year, you were sort of learning how to draw plans with stencils and pencils and everything. All of that in the real world is done with 3D CAD software. So you model it all up within your venue, bring that into a visualization software and see what all that light can do on the stage before you even step foot into the venue.
Finally, George, are there any words of wisdom from your life so far that you could share?
There's somebody that I am really good friends with who's been an excellent mentor for me over the past sort of 6 years within the Themed Entertainment Association. And words that she said really resonated with me, which is, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And I think those words are particularly relevant in this industry because it is so small. Everybody knows each other. And it is really about, you know, being kind and being nice to people. That's how people will remember you. You could be a really talented lighting designer. There's a lot of really talented lighting designers, but it's how you work with others, and that's how people are going to remember you.
Thank you.